What's up, guys?
What up?
Welcome back to another long-awaited episode of Jewelosophy.
Yes, very long-awaited. My mom and Eddie Bravo asked us about the podcast.
Shout out to Eddie Bravo. We're back.
Cool, man. And we recorded the podcast before the intro, so I hope you guys enjoy it. We were just like chatting about stuff. Literally, we were just chatting, and I always turned the mic on, and we kept chatting. Cool. And he ends with a weird analogy.
Ciao. Obrigado.
Peace out. Oh, lesson of the day.
Lesson of the day? Portuguese lesson of the day?
Yeah.
Oh. O medo não para a morte, o medo para a vida.
O medo não para a morte, o medo para a vida.
What that means is fear doesn't stop death, fear stops life.
What is that?
Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns. Truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our maths than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to philosophy.
Being given an opportunity to rise to the occasion, I think that's what... We can talk about this, but it's like, I think when your professor gives you a belt...
Fuck that shit, bro. Just talk normally. Like your tone just changed.
Oh, really? No.
You were like, yeah, you know, like, it's like, as soon as you're...
No, but I think about this a lot, actually. It's like when you get a belt at a grading, it's basically your coach saying to you that they believe in you, that you can rise to this new level, I think. It's not like, oh, here's a blue belt. You're like the perfect definition of a blue belt. That's how I feel, at least. It's like, here, I'm giving you the opportunity to become a blue belt. I don't know. What do you think?
Man, like, I think I should, like, sit next to you because this chair is noisy as fuck. Like, the thing...
Should we do an intro?
We'll do it later. Yeah, like, skip it flowing in the chat.
Cool.
But, like, one thing I was thinking is about, like, how... Yeah, like, I was thinking about what Patrick said in the other podcast.
What did you say? I forget. I wasn't listening to that guy.
Yes, this... If you knew you'd never get a belt, would you keep training jiu-jitsu? And then we like took like 1 minute thing. He's like, guys, you shouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Because of all the other things that like jiu-jitsu does to you. But then at the same time, like all the other ways that influences in your life. And at the same time, I think like the belt is important. It's important to you, like to measure your progress and stuff like that. It's important because I feel like in martial arts, like jiu-jitsu works as, has like a hierarchy, right? Yeah. But also, I think to even gauge that, like I think each belt means something, means like a period in your life, I guess, right?
For sure.
And like maybe a lesson you've learned or, yeah, it means something to your journey, I guess.
Humans need motivation and people are motivated by other things. It's like... Take a rabbit running after a carrot.
Yeah.
Without that carrot, I think that a rabbit would still enjoy running.
Yeah.
But sometimes they need that extra incentive to keep running. And I think that they're naturally born to run and they like running. But if the carrot is there, it's something that they can always focus on, and which allows them to do what makes them happy. The carrot forces you to do what makes you happy. And I think for humans, a belt is just, for some of us, a form of motivation that keeps us on the straight path. Like for me, because the next belt is there, I know it keeps me on the straight path because I'm motivated to do it. But that's not to say that without it, I wouldn't be happy doing jiu-jitsu. It's just a tool that keeps me doing jiu-jitsu. It's one of many tools that keeps me going on the jiu-jitsu journey. Because I know deep down it's what I want to keep doing anyway. But it's just an extra bonus to be like, all right, I'm going to keep doing this. But also what you said, I think hierarchies are super important. Some people would really disagree with this.
Yeah.
Like, if you listen to Keenan, my favorite Keenan, he's super against the hierarchy. But there was one podcast episode where he was talking about if it's important to line up at the end of class based on your rank, your belt rank, if that's important or not, or if people should wear belts at all. And he still thought that there was importance. Some value to it, yeah. What do you think? Do you think it's important to line up by rank, or, you know, how we do the warm ups in rank?
One thing I actually thought when you were talking now, it's like how I think contradictory we are, like, as people, because, like, you're like, yeah, the belt would keep me motivated, but, like, part of me was like, bruh, bullshit.
Yeah.
Because, like, the thing is, like,
I don't think it'd be the only thing. But
yeah, like, one of the tools. You said one of the tools, and it's like, it's true, and at the same time, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's why I mean, like, we're contradictory. It's like, I was thinking about this, right? Like, if you think about, for example, other things in life, like work and stuff like that, I remember it's like having a job that, like, maybe pays well and, like, gives you, like, better opportunities as you go, but maybe that's, like, yeah, there are other incentives, like the people you work with, what you're doing and shit like that, right? But, like, sometimes, like, a lot of those incentives might be in place, but just, like, the idea of, like, not enjoying, like, we were talking about this the other day, that I'm finding, like, having fun is so important part of jiu-jitsu, because we progress so much, and we're challenged every day, and there is, like, a focus component to it, where it's, like, you're just focusing on the class, like, your phone is not on or anything like that. But at the same time, it's like, it's so hard, but it's so much fun. Some days it's not that fun, but it's like the amount of fun is good enough to keep you coming.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I guess, like, you're right. Like, the belt would be a thing, but the thing is, it's like the happiness part of it. It's like, it's weird, because I've been thinking about this a lot, right? It's like, we get the belt, we happy, and then
that's happiness fades.
Yeah,
you'll see so quickly. It's like you get a new belt, and you've worked so hard for this belt, and then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh man, there's like at least years to go before this happens again.
Yeah,
I think this is it's a negative outlook, but I think many of us humans we do this. We're always focused on the next thing instead of enjoying the present moment. I think that's natural. It's unfortunate.
Yeah,
but. Like, yeah, you'll wake up the next day and you're like, okay, I got it. Now what?
There was a podcast that Muhammad Ali did. I think it was a video, but it's in Portuguese. And he talks about the mentality of a black belt. Do you remember this?
We'll keep going and we'll see.
His thing was all about, like, forgetting the belts and stuff. Actually, like, just, like, starting to think more in terms of understanding jiu-jitsu and making it almost, like, become, like, the CPU in your head kind of thing, you know? And his idea was, like, you should think that you are a black belt already. Like, you should feel that way. And as you go through your process, like, through your journey, it's like you've already arrived in your mind. So you start conducting yourself as a black belt now. And you start feeling that way, because that will give you the confidence. And then, but like, at each belt, it's almost like you're showing to your black belt self how you would be at each belt. So it's almost so then, like, when you arrive to an extent, you're not seeking validation from the belt. I think that was his point, right?
And I
was thinking about this, like, mostly, like, because I guess, like, it's getting closer to the end of the year, getting closer to my birthday, so, like, maybe I'm thinking about life and shit like that. And it's just like this idea that yeah, man, like, actually, I think we spend too much time in our heads, you know, like, thinking sort of like, oh, I gotta make sure that this it's like, how do I say it? I get there, and, like,
never satisfied.
And I think it's fine to keep growing, but almost like the idea that what he was saying of, like, I'm a black belt already, it's like finding that happiness, I guess, inside first, and almost like as we grow and shit in life, or it's just like thinking, oh, this is me showing to myself how I challenge myself,
yeah,
but, like, almost giving yourself the self-validation, I guess.
For sure. And also, you know, it's like jiu-jitsu never lies. And what I mean by that is, like, if you were to stick a brown belt on me tomorrow, and I went, you know, which would be ridiculous, and I went to a gym as a brown belt, like, people would know within 5 minutes. Well, maybe less.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Depending on which belt you're going against, yeah, or which, yeah, person,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. They'd know immediately that I wasn't a brown belt.
Maybe if you go to the kids' class.
Yeah, maybe if I went to the kids' class, it would take them 5 minutes.
But... like, I want two at a time. I'm going to take two at a time.
Yeah. So, I mean... you...
sorry, man. Like, yeah, super random. How, yeah, many kids do you think you can wrestle at once? Like,
bro, I think I could take, like, at least 5 kids.
Like, what age?
It's like 3. 3 to 5.
Nah, fuck that shit, man.
No?
Like, let's start, like, at 6. 6 is, like, grade 1, right? How, yeah, many grade 1s you could take?
Yeah, like 5 to 6.
5 or 6?
Yeah, but I wouldn't use any jiu-jitsu. I would just kick.
Strike!
Yeah. How many do you think you could take? Depends. I think you could take more.
I don't know, man. Like,
I think you could take, like, a full classroom.
It depends. It's like, how crazy are the kids, though? Because, like,
no, if
kids,
crazy.
Bro, if kids are biting you, you're fucked.
They're, like, Floridian kids. They're Floridian
kids. Oh, man. Kids from Florida. Florida. Like, they're meant to become the Florida men.
Yeah, they've been hanging out in the swamps.
Nah, bro. Like, kids are going to bite you. They're going to poke you in the eyes. Mm. So, like, I think...
yeah, I'm down. Let's find out.
When is kids' class at the gym?
Well, they're doing the grading at 1.
Yeah, like, I think we could do, like, not fight them, but just, like, ask them to hold, pin you down, yeah, and see if you can get up, you know, like...
I would just feel so bad if I hurt one of the kids, like yeah, really hurt the kid.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite easy, especially, like, because they would use all their strength.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay, no, we're not going to do
never
that.
Never mind, yeah, that's...
okay, we can do it. Just like...
no, man. All right, well, today's a special day. Tell them what today is and why we're talking about belts.
Oh, yeah, today's the grading. The grading at our gym, the London Fight Factory. And it's really exciting. It's always like a fun day, like really emotional.
Yeah, today is like Christmas for me. I love this day. And today is like, what I love about it is that I know I would bet my entire life saving that nothing is coming my way. I was lucky enough to get promoted last year, so that definitely means nothing's coming my way. And so I can just go and enjoy the moment and hopefully watch my friends get promoted and just enjoy it. Like, I'm not stressed. I know that there are some people in the room or at the gym now who are, like, extremely stressed and hoping that something happens. And, you know, it may happen, may not. But it's a nice feeling to be able to go into it stress-free and be like, you know, I'm just going to sit back and watch this. And the vibe is cool. It's a really cool vibe, like... You can feel the anxiety in the room, but you can also feel like the joy and the sense of community. It's like it's almost like a tournament vibe almost. How would you describe it? What's the room like during grading?
Yeah, it's like I think you feel how much everybody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's this thing about like when someone who doesn't train asks you, "Why do you care about this shit so much?" and you can't explain.
Mm.
That day, I think you can actually feel why we care so much. Yeah. You can't actually explain why still, but you can feel it because it's like it's a Saturday,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like it feels like the whole day, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody stopped doing, like, usually a lot of people don't train on the weekends or, yeah, stuff, but even when you see someone get promoted and it feels good, you know, like, yeah, it's like a, yeah, so I don't know how to explain.
It's cool because I think jiu-jitsu is still one of those sports where it's still really, really hard to get a belt. I think, I don't want to, don't get upset, karate people, if there are any random people that listen to this that do karate, but I think it's, from what I've heard at least, it's pretty easy to get a, like, you can get a black belt in 3 years, something.
Shots fired.
Yeah, shots fired, come see me. but.
Test my gangster.
Yeah, test my gangster. You know, and it's like, so belts maybe don't hold as much meaning. I'm sure you're stoked to get a new belt in karate, but when realistically, at our gym at least, you don't see people change belts for a minimum of like 2 years each. And that's like at the minimum. You see guys who have been at belts for years and years, and it's like, damn, that's years of hard work. Like, if you're getting a blue belt, you've been working hard at our gym, most likely for at least 2 years. And we're not talking training once or twice a week. We're training multiple times a week. You're putting your body, like, you're screwing your body up. You're learning so much. You're fighting guys who are much better than you. You're probably competing. And it's just a lot of stress in your mind and your body. And so when you look back on that journey just to get to this next belt, it's literally only the second belt in jiu-jitsu in the case of a blue belt. The amount of work you've done is probably equivalent to a lot of high belts in other martial arts. And it's like, damn, I can't speak for all. I'm sure there are some hardcore karate gyms.
Bro, you're attracting some different type of energy. It's equivalent to higher belts in other martial arts. Whoa.
I believe it, continue.
By the way, I don't stand by these remarks.
All right, I stand by it. But, all right, the point I'm trying to make is we work very hard for our belts, and jiu-jitsu has maintained its difficulty in getting belts. I'll stop talking about other martial arts.
If you want some smoke, just follow him on Instagram.
Underscore John Jitsu.
Yeah, underscore John Jitsu, and just DM him. Just DM him, like, the purple devil emoji, and it's on. As soon as you see him, just strike, and he's gonna pull a De La Riva.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Yeah, man, it's interesting. Like, I guess, what does your belt mean to you? So, I guess, other than being higher than most martial arts.
What does it mean to me?
Yeah, like, but like, or I guess, like, talk, because before this, you're telling me, I think yesterday, on the reseña, mm-hmm. when we were just kicking it, you were like, I think John from today would smoke John from a year ago.
For sure, and that's the coolest thing about jiu-jitsu, is every once in a while you get a chance to look back. I don't know, there comes a point in your jiu-jitsu, like maybe you had a really good day, a really good training day, and you look back and you're like, damn, when I first got my blue belt, compared to what I am now, I think I've learned so much. And I can, like, maybe in a different episode talk about, like, I've kind of taken a new approach to learning in jiu-jitsu. I've had to spend, unfortunately, a decent amount of time off lately due to a bunch of BS in my life, whether it be illness, injury, all sorts of stuff. But I've still maintained active, if that makes any sense. But that's a whole nother episode. So I think Iki and I were talking about this earlier in the episode. I'm not even sure if we were recording or if we were just talking shit, but it's like, I think when you first get a belt, it's, you're getting like a new pair of shoes. Yeah, this is an interesting analogy if I do say so myself, but it's like getting a belt is like a brand new pair of shoes. When you first put the shoes on, you can tell it fits you, right? Like the shoes fit, they're your size, but they're not your shoes yet. They're not comfortable yet. You haven't worn the shoes in. And you get to a point where there's that sweet spot in the belt lifespan where it's like, all right, these shoes really fit me now and they feel good and I can run in them and I don't get blisters and it feels good. And then there comes a point where these shoes are too old for you. There's holes in them. Like, you need to get a new pair of shoes. And that's when you upgrade to the new belt. So I think a belt is like a pair of shoes. So all the people that are getting new belts today are getting new pairs of shoes, but that doesn't mean that the shoes perfectly fit them. They're your size, but you get to grow into those shoes and make them your own. And I think that's what's cool about new belts. Damn, that was deep. That was deep. I like that.
Yeah, you know where you fucked up?
Where?
You should have just kept it silent. Yeah. And like, let me say that was deep. Yeah, bro, like you sounded like a Buddha there. And then you're like, that was deep. That was really deep. Jesus Christ, that was deep though.
All right, we'll edit that out then. What? We'll edit that part out then.
Nah, man, keep it real.
Oh, damn.
We'll also keep the part where you say you want smoke.
Yeah.
With any other martial art.
You don't need to edit that out. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah, those kids are going to smoke it to begin with. But, nah, man, I actually love that analogy. You know, like, one thing that was interesting also, I was listening to a podcast. Nah, it's just an audiobook.
Mm.
And the guy was talking about the bamboo tree and how the bamboo tree takes about 7 years to grow. Like, let's say it grows, but like for the roots of the bamboo tree to grow deep enough. So for 7 years, nothing much seems to change. And then after 7 years, when the roots are like deep, it grows out of nowhere and it's like strong, and like wind comes, rain comes, and it's strong as fuck. Mm. Like the peak it happens after 7 years is like ridiculous. So I was wondering, like, you were talking about this, of how there was a time we were training hard, like lifting. That was like a new thing you introduced to your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even your grips, like you're training lapel grips. Man, it looked like a Van Damme movie, like when he's training with like the guy that used to be at old coach back in the days, and now he's gonna go for revenge, his brother or something. Yeah, you're like heavy on like weights and shit. And I was wondering that after there was a point where everything started not working out, getting sick, skin infection, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a lot of time off the mats and you were studying.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that after that, when you came back, it felt like another peak. Not a bamboo tree one, but it was a huge peak in your blue belt. Like mm-hmm. the same way that you're training, weights, peak. Then training, studying, peak.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a separate subject from the belts, but I think it's an interesting one anyway. It's like, I think there's a lot to be said about studying jiu-jitsu. It's not just going through the motions. It's not enough. If you really want your games to get better, it's not enough to just be sitting, coming to training every day and just training and not thinking about things. I think we sometimes don't think about how mental jiu-jitsu is. You need to start forming like a game plan in your mind. You need to start, what I was doing in this time off was I was studying a lot of video and starting to try to envision myself in these positions and think of combinations of moves that I want to do. I think as you get better in jiu-jitsu, your first option rarely works. It's just a way to set up your second option or third option. In the same way, chess, you know, it's like you can't just move one piece and expect to win the game. You have to move multiple pieces in a series of movements to put yourself into an advantageous position. And jiu-jitsu is like that. So I was taking time away to study video and start to envision myself making these series of moves. Does that make any sense?
Mm. But bro, like, you also started keeping a proper journal now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another thing. It was one day where I sat and I took, I made like a map of myself and every single, this is going to sound a little crazy, but I guess I am a little crazy.
Just a little bit.
Right. Yeah. I would write down every single position that I find myself in and start to diagram out all my different options from there. And that really started to show me like where are the holes in my jiu-jitsu, like what positions do I only have one option from? And if I only have one option, as I was saying earlier, you know, like plan A rarely works. So you need at least plan A, plan B, and based on your opponent's positions or movements to your positions. And it's like, once I started to lay these things out, it really starts to like sink into your mind. These are my options. And when you find yourself in that position in training, you start to go through all those options. I don't know. It just kind of solidified what I was trying to achieve in each position. And it didn't feel like time wasted. Let's put it that way. Like, even though I was off the mat, not physically training, I was still mentally training. So when I did come back, it didn't feel like I'd been out that long, even though it'd been, you know, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. So, yeah.
It's interesting how, like, because I keep a journal as well, but, like, your journal was, like, very, like, nerdy.
Mm.
Like, really, like, organized. Today I did this. And, like, mine was, like, more like I'll look at a technique and then try to think about, why do I take the base from this? And this is what I was thinking, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mine was like very random, but like I really liked that system, and then almost like rethinking. You're going to say something.
No, yeah. I mean, when you said the word system, it's like, I think system is the exact word that I was looking for to describe what I'm trying to do. I think if you look at a lot of the really good jiu-jitsu guys these days, they have systems. Like if you look at Danaher, of the Danaher Death Squad, his whole thing is he creates systems for different positions. He's got a leg locking system. He's got a close guard system. He's got an attacking the back system. And it's a series of movements that will lead you to a goal. And it's like, I want to have a system, my own personalized system, because I don't believe that one system works for every person. I really don't believe that. That's just my unintelligent blue belt mind. But I still believe that my system may not work for you and your system may not work for me. I think that's why jiu-jitsu is very difficult to teach, I think, especially to a large group of people with different body types and abilities. It's like, you got to figure out what works for you. And I think that's a cool thing, like, training with you, Iki, is that, like, as time has gone on, our systems have, like, gone in completely different directions. Mm. But I'm still able to learn certain things from you because, like, you've developed a really good half-guard game, right?
Thanks.
No, it's true, though. It is true. It's undeniable. Like, literally every tournament you've been in, so far that I've seen, you've ended up in half guard and been able to create movement off of half guard. Like, the last tournament, you won the whole thing. And it was, I would honestly give 80% of the credit to your half guard. And it's
thank you for the 20% of the credit.
Well, I don't know what the rest was.
The other 20 is for me and for all our training together.
Yeah.
And for, yeah.
I'll take that. But it's like, I'm not a huge half guard guy. It's not my thing. But that's not to say that I don't end up in half guard. So by training from with you, I learned like little tricks about half guard just so I can get back to my own stuff. And I think probably a similar thing with training with me, you probably learn little things here and there that like help you get back to your own stuff. But your system is completely different from my system. And I think as time will go on, our systems will grow even further apart. But that's okay. Is what I'm trying to say.
And the thing is almost like respecting that that's okay. And respecting that because I don't do that, understanding that is important. Because it's like, even though I can't do it or it might not work for me, it's still dangerous if someone knows how to do it. Like, you know, talking about like half guard and stuff like and training. One thing that I focused on this year. Mm-hmm. And like I'm thinking about like next year. What do I want to focus on? I focused a lot on getting a good half guard. Like, I just wanted to get good at half guard.
Yep.
I pretty much just, that was my main goal. And even from takedowns, it's like takedowns that if the takedown doesn't work, I can pull half guard straight away. And I feel like comfortable in the position and I like the position. So, but the thing I learned the most is the amount of patience. It's like, I think it goes a little bit back to the belts. It's like, if I focus on half guard for a year, because that was the thing that I was afraid. It's like, oh, I'll miss this, I'll miss that, I'll miss De La Riva and all these things. But it's like, in the journey through mastery, there's like no set date of like you're gonna learn all these things, you know. So I can focus on half guard for the next 2-3 years, but the thing that surprised me the most is that all the other positions that I wanted to learn, like the La Rive and stuff, I know to like the fight is not gonna end and start at half guard. It's gonna move. So I ended up understanding, oh, this is when I have to roll upside down and stuff, like just to get back to the position that I feel most comfortable with. I had to learn a bunch of other ones. And I had to understand passing. I had to understand all these things. It's from one position. You know? So that was quite interesting. And I'm thinking now, like, oh, I want to focus on one thing next year. Mm-hmm. Right? Like one type of passing.
Yeah.
And see if I can understand everything else. And I know that you have been focusing on something that is quite... For me, it's not my style at all. I just like to hold it every once in a while. But yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, takedowns.
Yeah, right.
Lapel guard. Lapel worm guard. Ringworm guard. Squid guard. Anything involving the lapel. Yeah, I'm still really new to it, believe it or not. I actually don't think it's been a year of me trying really hard to get it, but... I think in the past couple months, I really made some gains in my lapel system. And I think this is a shout out to our coach, Luis. At first, he was very skeptical of my ridiculousness with the lapel because, you know, on the surface, it's very Nutella. You know, like you grab the lapel and you start hanging on it like a wild monkey. And then he, I don't know, saw that I was like dedicated to it. And he saw that I showed him some positions that I think he actually liked. I showed him the strength of the position. And now he's kind of been helping me troubleshoot some of the positions that I get stuck in. Because it's very hard. The thing about it is that if you get to a solid lapel position, if you get to the position you want to, it's very hard to stop. But getting to that position is not easy. And so he's been helping me figure out ways to get there. But yeah, that's something that I've been focusing on and I want to keep focusing on for the next at least year, I guess.
That's dope, man.
Yeah.
Like, I remember this podcast with Muhammad Ali and Bernard Faria. And yeah, like, I'm a Bernard Faria fanboy because Jared is looking at me like, yeah, right. You remember that? So yeah, like, and Dam talking about positions because Ali was saying that he used to be very good at triangles early on. But then people started telling him, you have to focus on everything.
Yeah.
And he says he regrets it. Yeah. He should have kept going with the triangles because now he's sort of good at everything, but he's not a guy that is known from one move. And he was like, I could probably have won a lot more fights if I had stuck. And he was talking about Bernard because Bernard Faria is like, he grabs that one position.
Yeah.
And you know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it. And you just can't stop it. And I think it's the same thing with Keenan Cornelius and stuff. Yeah. It's like, people know he's going to pull guard. They know I was going to pull guard. Mm-hmm. But just can't stop it.
You know what's crazy? It's like, speaking of strategy and being good at one thing, I think a problem I have with my jiu-jitsu is that when I'm training, I don't really care about winning. I don't like losing. I don't like getting submitted. But I don't care about winning. I don't know if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But I don't focus enough on submitting the person. I enjoy playing the game of jiu-jitsu. And I think that's something that kind of holds me back. It's like I'm more happy with like sweeping the guy with a lapel sweep than I am getting to a dominant position and like choking them. Like, that doesn't do as much for me. I don't find that to be fun. Or like triangle chokes. When I first started doing jiu-jitsu, I've got very long legs. When I first started doing jiu-jitsu, it was at a no-gi only gym. It was pretty much no-gi only. I was so young and so, I had no idea anything about jiu-jitsu. I didn't even know you wore belts in jiu-jitsu. Because it was no-gi and they didn't enforce a uniform policy until like a year after I was training there. And they didn't make us line up by rank or anything. We were just training, like, which looking back is pretty cool. But so I learned the triangle choke and it was one of my first things. And because I had long legs, I was like pretty decent at shooting triangle chokes. And so like every match, I would just go for the triangle choke and I would get it a lot. And then it got to the point where I was just kind of like bored of it. It's like, it wasn't about winning for me. It was just, I want to do something more. I like the game of jiu-jitsu. And I think maybe, yeah, if I stuck with just shooting triangles all the time, my triangles would be very good. But then I think I would lose interest in jiu-jitsu. It's like, this isn't a life or death situation for me. I don't need to, like, submit someone to...
It's true, but I think those guys were also talking about in terms of when they were already purple belts and they were like, I want to do this because I want to be a world champion. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Like, so I think it was more in that sense.
I'm saying I think I should have more of that mentality. Like, I think I should be like, I need to get really good at something or have a set of moves that I know are going to help me finish the match. And so that I can, because I like competing to some degree. And what's the point in competing if you don't want to win?
You know, that's like, there's a quote Bushesha saying that, like, I don't go there to win, I don't go there to fight, I go there to kill my opponent. Like, and I remember Luigi also telling me once, I think I was telling him, like, I'm struggling with, like, finishing people. He's like, yeah, tell this to the guys trying to take your wallet. Like, you know, like, on the street. So, talking of tournaments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this killing and not killing thing. Galinho is a brown belt in our gym and an instructor as well. He has a very interesting perspective on this, which is being focused, being in a moment and being relaxed. This tournament, the last tournament we were in, bro, what the fuck, man? Like, you'd think that after a couple of tournaments, you're just gonna ease into it. The moment they call your motherfucking name, you're like, hi, yeah, is that your name? Yeah, sit there. And like, you have to go, and it's like so much adrenaline.
Yeah.
And I remember, so it's like we're getting ready for the tournament, and like throughout the whole thing, I was dancing, like not dancing, but like shaking around, moving around, like, you know, like as if I was dancing, playing songs in my head, like the same songs that play in the gym, singing and stuff. And I won the first two fights. The third one, I go to ask, like, oh, it's taking too long. And throughout the whole thing, I was the same thing, like really relaxed. The third one, it's taking too long. I go to ask, and I, like, my hand is on the table.
Yep.
Shaking. And yeah, no, it's normal. The guy says, oh, yeah, your name is, your fight is in 5 minutes. You're in the final. My hand starts shaking. Like, as soon as I heard that, like, the stakes just went high. I watched the other guys fight, and then I see he's good with triangles. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay, if I pass guard, I have to go like Toriando. I can't get in between his legs. Oh, shit, but my best guard pass is over under or double unders. Oh my God. It's just like, first thing that happens, I pull guard, I sweep him, and then it's time to pass, and I freeze.
Yeah.
Because, like, the guy looks at me, and I look at him, and he kind of smiles. Like, he has an open guard, he smiles a little bit, like, but that's, like, in my head, like, he probably wasn't smiling. Yeah, he
definitely wasn't right? smiling at all.
But, like, he's like, oh, ha, come into my triangle. I hear that. And then, like, for pure luck, I remember to put my knee on his chest.
Yeah.
And try to knee slice. But it's like, I think that the major lesson or something that was weird for me there, it was like, it's like how tense you can get. It's like how like, even though like that idea of killing, I think it should be there, but it should be as like part of this game. The end game of this game is to kill, right? It's to finish the person. But like, I think going that ramped up, like, it's like it doesn't help, because that was the fight that didn't go well for me, because I felt like I have to make something happen here, and I have to, like, and I think when I think like that, I'm also thinking that he's thinking like that, so like, I'm thinking that he's thinking, yeah, I gotta try, and like, so I become afraid of him, and I start thinking more of him.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny, let me read something to you. I was talking the other day. So I'm reading a book on the mindset of a fighter.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the book, actually. The Fighter's Mind.
I saw it.
All right. And speaking back to that first jiu-jitsu gym that I went to, I've been speaking to my first jiu-jitsu coach. His name's Charles McCarthy.
Yeah.
He's fought in the UFC. He's a black belt under Ricardo Laborio.
Yeah.
Out of American Top Team. And we were talking about, what do you call it? Like the mentality going into competitions. And he sent me a really nice, like, long message about, you know, fighting and competition, your mindset. And he said that basically if you accept that you're going to win, if you are better and you've trained harder, then all the work is done. And there's nothing to stress about. You know, like, all the hard work is done. What will be, you've trained. And it's not like your skills are going to go up or the other guy's skills are going to go up. You're basically just two game characters with a set of skills, and the stress should be gone. What's done is done, and you're going to go out there and compete. Also, the other thing, the thing that stuck with me a little more was he was like, you don't want to be sitting there and be stressed and nervous and make it an unenjoyable experience, in the sense that this is a very exciting time of your life. Like, not many people are going to experience what you, me, and all of our other jiu-jitsu friends get to experience by going out and competing. This is such an exhilarating, exciting thing. You get to go out there and do what you love to do. And realistically, it's somewhat of a short period of time in your life. And so go out there and enjoy it. You don't want to look back when you're like 90 and you can't do jiu-jitsu anymore and be like, oh, I wasted all those years competing being nervous or like getting butterflies in my stomach and not being able to give the best version of yourself because you were so nervous and scared, worrying about something that hasn't even happened yet. The match hasn't happened yet. Like, and you're creating all these scenarios in your head that, again, nothing's happened yet. And so if you just accept there's going to be a winner, there's going to be a loser, you've done the best you can, just go out, give the best version of yourself, and enjoy it. Jiu-jitsu is meant to be enjoyed. Competition is meant to be enjoyed. We're not fighting for the next meal on our plate. You know, we're out there to improve our skills and do a sport that we love. Everyone there loves the sport. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there on a Sunday afternoon. You know?
You think, like, we kind of overvalue just, like, good emotions. Like, you know, like, almost like praise. And, like, care so much that this has to go well. Because the thing that actually matters is not being here, having, like, greatest time of my life, enjoying this moment. It's the praise.
Yeah.
I got to get the praise.
That's so true. That is so true. And it's like, what if I told you that you would go to a tournament and no one would ever know what the result would be? How would you look at the tournament? What if it was just a closed room thing and you and your opponent went in and nobody knew the outcome? How would you think about competing? That's not necessarily a question to you, Iki. It's just something to think about.
I remember hearing, I don't know who asked this. I think it was like in a group of friends and someone was asking, like, he was trying to make a point that a lot of times we are more motivated to like when checking our motivations about like why we do things, sometimes we don't notice when we're doing it for other people. And you're giving an example in like guys, for example.
Yeah.
Most guys would rather have like sex, and he would ask, like, do you think most guys would rather have sex with a woman that everyone thinks is attractive? Mm-hmm. What was the question? The question was, like, let's say girl X, like, she's really famous, really popular, and everyone thinks she's attractive.
Yeah.
And God,
you don't think she's attractive.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't think she's necessarily that attractive.
Yeah.
And the question was, would you rather... Now, you also think she's attractive. But the thing is, would you rather go on a date with her and get to know her, right?
Uh-huh.
And actually have sex with her and have like an amazing time or something like that and no one knows.
Yeah.
Or would you rather go out with her and have her tell everyone that, like, yes, we had the best time ever and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whether you did or you did, it doesn't matter. Or maybe it wasn't the best time ever. Would you rather have that or have... She agrees, like, yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times, like, it would be easy for us to be like, oh, no, I'll be the first one. We'd have, like, this great relationship and everything. But sometimes... it's like we can't see our own bias. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and we're like, a lot of times most people would be like, would actually want the second one. Like, everyone knows, right?
I feel you.
Yeah.
Definitely feel it.
So I guess that's the thing.
But listen, after that extremely confusing analogy, hey, if anybody out there understood what the hell Iki was saying, you just send me a message because I'm still confused.
Jesus Christ.
On that note, we have 45 minutes to make it to the gym because today is our grading day.
Cool. So we're going to do actually the intro now and then we'll add the intro to the end, to the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Peace out.
Peace.